You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome into Affirmations for Living. Know that you are loved and appreciated for tuning in today. I know that you could be in a million different places, and so truly, I appreciate your participating. And it is, as you know, my desire to bring you week-to-week tools to empower, uplift, and inspire you to be the best that you can be. And to help you take control of your life, to understand that everything you are experiencing is because you are creating it. And for some, I know that is a hard concept to swallow, but it is the truth. Consciously or unconsciously, want it or not. And so we really have to begin to pull back in and really pay attention to those thoughts, those feelings, those things are creating our outside world. And a part of that has a lot to do with the stars, right? Astrology. And so my guest today, I'm delighted to have on Michelle Avanti, and she is a master astrologer, amongst other things. And so today we're going to really be discussing what astrology is, what's the horoscope, and really, seriously, what it is. You know, there's so many things out there. You get your daily horoscope, and a lot of it just isn't accurate, but we're going to have an accurate accounting of what it is today. So thank you. If you haven't already, visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. I also have two other sites up and running now. One is Dr. Edvige, and that's just D-R-E-D-W-I-G-E, dredvige.com. That's sort of like my new hub. So you can go there and find out everything that I offer right now, including my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, to my new 12-month light body course. Yes, 12 months. It's for the serious, for sure, because it takes that long to really go through all the different layers and steps to prepare your physical and spiritual body. And again, Affirmations for Living, where you can find another program called Raising Your Consciousness. So if you haven't already, I invite you to go to those websites, sign up for my newsletter so that you can stay tapped in. And download my app, Awakened, because it's free. And with that, you can stay tapped in. So without further ado, I want to thank you for listening. And Michelle, welcome in.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. So, you know, you heard my intro. And there's so much about astrology, you know, because you can go to any website and get your daily horoscope. How does that work?
Well, you know, daily horoscopes are interesting. Llewellyn George, a famous astrologer from the past, back in the earlier part of the last century, he wanted to help people understand astrology, so he developed the horoscope. And it really is gives a little bit of information, usually a sentence or two, about what might be possible for, let's say, the zodiac sign Aries. Well, all we're working with when you talk about a horoscope is actually one luminary and how the effects of the planets at this moment in time might be actively affecting or influencing or, I want to say, resonating with that particular luminary. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very limited and a long ways from being anything that might be accurate in your life. However, if you are an individual who has your sun and your moon and your Mercury and your Venus all in Aries, you may see quite a few effects as you watch your daily horoscope. The majority of us are not like that. There are many, many influences. When we look at a person's natal chart, to understand what it is, the moment that you took your very first breath, you came out of the womb, you breathed in air for the very first time, at that moment in time, the position of all the planets in this solar system and all the stars in other solar systems, along with the luminaries of the moon and the sun, they were in particular geometric patterns at that moment. And that magnetic resonance that took place at that moment you took your first breath left some serious kind of geometric pattern in your DNA system. As the planets continue to move and create new geometric patterns that directly activate that original pattern, you have a resonance effect. You may find that your doorways of opportunity might open. There may be learning lessons that come before you at those times. That's when we actually read a person's natal picture. That original pattern is what we need to look at, and where these planets are now, or these luminaries, or these superstars that are far out in space, how they may be affecting you now. So when we look at a horoscope in a newspaper, you're not even looking at something that is 1% of what might really be taking place, and it gives no major reference points to that moment or to your own particular chart. So hopefully that gives you some explanation.
So, and there are quite a lot of different charts. So you say natal chart. So natal chart, what's the definition of a natal chart? Your birth chart?
Yes, that moment that you took your first breath, and where you were on the planet when you took that first breath is how we developed the natal chart.
Now, let me ask you then, so what is the importance of where you were born?
Well, when we look at astrology, we're actually looking at how, where in space you were looking from on this point on Earth out into the heavens. And so you, if you are, for example, if you were born at a specific moment, let's say you were born January 1st at 1 in the morning in North America, let's say in Philadelphia, versus being born January 1st, the same exact year, at the same exact time of 1 a.m., but you were in Sydney, Australia, you would have some things that were very, very similar, but you would have other things that are completely different. What is vastly different is where the placement on this wheel of all those planets and luminaries are. The moment that you are born, the wheel is constructed based on where the constellations are moving as related to the horizon line from where you're born. So we say at the moment you were born, for example, we might say you have Aries rising. Well, Aries rising means that at the moment you were born, that constellation was rising over the horizon, which means Libra was descending. So this tells us certain things. By cutting this wheel up into 12 spaces, 12 pieces of this pie, what 4,000 years of research has shown is each little piece of pie is like a layer of your consciousness in terms of your outlook. The first house, if you were born with Aries rising, has a lot to do with how people will receive you, how they perceive you, how they see you, and also how you will actually physically look. A person with Aries rising most invariably will have some type of red hint to their hair. And it doesn't matter if they're a horse, a dog, or a human being. They'll have some kind of red hint. It just seems to be the nature of Aries rising, unless there's some major mitigation of that ascendant. That kind of gives you a little example. When you get to the second house, it'll tell us about what kind of values you will have. The constellation that was showing on that second house at the moment you were born tells us about your outlook in terms of your values. And, for example, if you had Cancer on the second house cusp, you're a person who will value family over just about anything. You'll value your home over anything and the security of your home. You'll value food. You'll probably be a person who is more of a nurturing individual. So it kind of gives you an understanding, even though you may have identical planets to the person in Australia, you will actually have a completely different way of using them.
That's so amazing to me. I mean, that's just so interesting. So then we can go even a step further then, as metaphysical practitioners that we are, and say that then on the other side of the veil, before we came in, based on the lessons that we wanted to experience in this lifetime, we chose the time, the place, and all of that that we would come in, because it kind of goes in accordance with how we will move through life. Is that an accurate assessment?
I would agree with that 100%. But let's not forget, because people will always ask me this question, they'll say, well, if I chose everything before I came in, then aren't I predestined? There's a yes and no to that.
Okay.
As most of the paradoxes of the lower worlds, yes, you personally predestined the choices or the intersections that you would travel through in this lifetime. However, you come in with complete freedom to change those or to respond to them differently. This is always your choice. You are never without that choice.
So, say you have the lessons that you want or the expansion that you want. How you choose to learn the lesson, how you choose to travel the road is your free will. And however you want to do it, you get to do it. Is that what you're saying?
I am saying that. At the same time, I will also say this. When we look, for example, let's say someone comes to me and they say, you know, I just had a little baby born. Can you look at this and give me some ideas about the road this child might be taking in this life? How can I encourage them to expand? What tools are in this chart that you can give me to help my child? Well, that's a wonderful thing for a person to do, because when I look at that, I'm able to give some of the psychological basis of what the experiences of this child will be, how best to deal with the psychological challenges or the, perhaps they're not challenges, the wonderful talents this individual has. Then if I look at how the planets are moving, because we always know how they're moving, and I can pinpoint 20 years ahead for the individual or 50 years ahead, and I can say, well, at this moment in time, there's going to be some fantastic options for this person. By doing that, I'm actually saying, soul, before it came into this body, knew that they wanted to make certain contacts. They wanted to have certain moments in time that would be major transformation points in their life. And they did open those doors. They set those doorways in place. I always like to compare it to a person who, let's say they're in California and they decide, I'm going to take a drive to New York City. I want to see certain things. So they take out their, well, today you go on your computer and lay out your map or your GPS unit, and you say, okay, well, I'm going to stop at this location and that location, and these probably the hotels I'll stay at or campsites or whatever. But there's still something that happens on that journey that they can't plan, mm-hmm. that they don't plan. There's the space between leaving L.A. and stopping in Phoenix, Arizona. That space they haven't necessarily looked at. And the planets, in their incredible wisdom, may have set it in motion that there will be a challenge in that space or there will be an opportunity in that space. So they pull over to get gas at some odd spot in Quartzsite, Arizona, And as they get out of the car to pump some gas, someone walks up to them or a dog comes over to them and they suddenly have an encounter. It's completely unexpected. And at those moments in time, we have some of the greatest opportunities to discover who we are and to be completely within the synchronicity of time and space as we connect with other life.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Very, very interesting. So now, let me ask you this. You know, I'm a fire sign, right? Born in April, Aries.
Mm-hmm.
How did the names fire sign, and how did these things come about? What makes it a fire sign? What makes it the ruling planet being Mars? How did that come about?
Well, you know, that's really ancient history. And in the time of the Babylonians, they made connections between what they saw in space. And remember, they didn't have the powerful microscopes or scopes that we have today. They didn't have these incredible lenses that we've developed. But what the human eye could see, they made connections between what activities they saw in the sky with what was going on Earth. And as they continued to make these connections, they identified what seemed to have the greatest force within each of these constellations. And Aries, I think all of it is so, to me, becomes very obvious. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. It's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of spring. It's the beginning of the experience of planet Earth itself. And when you think of the beginning of this experience, you think of this planet, this large meteorite that was traveling through space at some rapid speed, coming into a spot in the universe within our solar system where the magnetics were just perfect for it to align with an orbit. It was a big, fiery ball. Aries is a fire sign. What is more connected to that than Mars? Mars is a planet that when you look even in the sky, it's a red planet. It fits. And the activity of Mars, as it was recorded and researched over time, showed that Mars really connects with energy. It connects with outgoing, aggressive energy. And when you look at the symbol for Mars, it's the same exact symbol or glyph for man. Man is a proactive force. It's a circle with an arrow coming out of it. Mm-hmm. It's a proactive force. Where a woman, the symbol for a woman, is a circle with a plus sign coming down out of it. That is not an aggressive image, but rather an image of multiplicity, whereas the symbol for male is aggressive. Venus is connected to the symbol for female. Venus in the heavens shows us the arts. Venus active in your chart, in any of the signs, tells us about the kinds of cultural things, the kinds of socializing experiences you love. And it's really research. It was research that identified so many of these things. But I think it's also fascinating how they are also aligned with how we evolve, or perhaps you might say devolve. It's a question mark. Are we really evolving or are we devolving?
Let's hope we're evolving. One can only hope.
Again, I think it's a paradox. It's one, again, of the paradoxes. I think you can say, yes, we are evolving, and yes, we are devolving. Both are happening at the same time.
So now, knowing this natal chart, you really can predict, although that's a harsh word, challenges or opportunities in the future based on those alignments.
Right. Well, when we say predict in astrology, it's a form of prognostication, but it is not a prediction where we can say it's black and white. We can't say, well, I know that on the 12th of August, you are going to have an experience where a car is going to come in sideways and hit the passenger side of your car. If an astrologer tells you that, they are on some other planet and they are not an astrologer. They can say a lot of things, but what astrology gives us is pictures. And within those pictures, man will respond through reaction or positive response based on what they've built within their nature or character. And that's why I always say when you're faced suddenly with an experience, a moment with the unknown, you reveal who you are to yourself.
So true. So true. So to predict or, and I'll use that word, to predict events for a nation, is there a natal chart for a nation, for America or any other country? Is there a natal chart?
Well, this is, one of the big experiences that astrologers have where they discuss, and astrologers are famous for debating back and forth. There are so many different kinds of astrologers on the planet. People don't know that, but we have many, many charts for a nation, because a nation is such a huge statement that it's very, very difficult to say, well, this is the only natal chart for the United States of America. First off, we don't have, or we can't agree with each other as to what our real records are. The moment that we signed the Declaration of Independence, at that moment, all those signatures were on there. Is that the moment that this country became a nation? Was it the first signature? Remember, there are a lot of signatures on there. I think there are, 43 of them or 55? I can't remember the number. But it took them a long time to gather all those signatures. It was over time. It was not all done in one evening, as we all like to believe. However, others will say, well, the moment that we signed the Declaration of Independence was not the birth of the nation. The birth of the nation was the moment that we set up our Constitution. That's a completely different date. That was long after the Revolution. So there are others who will say, well, it was the moment that we shot off the first cannon shot of the American Revolution, the very first shot, which would be actually, I believe it's April 19th of 1776. So a completely different date than July the 4th. There's a huge debate, and there's debates like that in every country. You could say, well, the storming of the Bastille was the day that the French government stepped into the government it is today. Well, when was the storming of the Bastille? Was it really on that day? And if so, at what moment?
At what time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't really do it for a nation. You can do it for a corporation if indeed someone is there at the moment that they stamp that corporate seal. But how often does that actually happen, that anyone is aware? Because most people take their corporate papers, they put them in a mailbox, and at some point down the road, they return to them, and no one really knows the moment that they sealed it, they set that seal in motion.
So if you wanted to do something for a country like America, then what sort of astrology, what sort of information could you get for the country?
Well, what I do, and I've done this for many, many, many years, I use an ancient technique. What the ancients did is they used what we call the ingress charts. The ingress charts, the word ingress means entering, okay? And at the moment that the sun enters the very first of 0000 degrees, 0 minutes, of a cardinal sign, that moment is the moment that the ingress begins. For a nation, it will begin at that moment with the location of the capital of that nation. So it will be in a different place for every government, but it will be basically the same exact chart for every government. It's very interesting. That means that the only thing that's really different is how the wheel is constructed. And you have four wheels every year. You have the entrance of Aries, the entrance of Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Those are the four cardinal signs. Those are, when you look at what we call a natural wheel, those are the quadrants. Those are the ascendant, the descendant, the nadir, which is the darkest point of the chart, and the zenith, which is the top of the chart, or the IC. So the ancients used that technique, and I find that that technique is probably the most accurate. When we look at a chart, an ingress chart, these are called ingress charts for a nation, there are things we look at right away to see if there are key events perhaps noticeable about to take place.
Okay, so then can you do an ingress chart on a person, or is that strictly for governments?
I've never done ingress charts for people because we don't really, I've never done them. I honestly have never even thought about doing one for people because I always have people's information and I don't need to do that.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But it would be kind of interesting. But the problem with people is people are not nations. People move around. We could do an ingress chart for where you live at this moment in time. And that might be interesting to do, but I think people are more, because they're so much smaller in their energy field, I don't know how well that would work. But it would be interesting to do a research project on it.
So, okay, you said something. So based on the natal chart or this chart, where you move to, can that impact you? So is there a chart for telling you if you should move someplace or not?
Absolutely. Where you move to, this is a whole other kind of astrology. There's a lot of different, just as in medicine, you have, you know, so many different kinds of medicine, people who specialize in so many things. Astrology has as many things as medicine.
Really? So can you actually take a minute and tell us that? So are there main types of astrology?
Yes. You know, you have at the top header, you'd say, okay, are you a Western astrologer or an Eastern astrologer? Because Western astrology is different than Vedic or Eastern astrology. They use a completely different kind of wheel, and they do it differently. It's done really differently. In the end, when you synthesize them both down, you get the same information, but they do have a different technique. Western astrology versus Eastern astrology is the first and most obvious, but then within them there are many avenues of astrology. There are astrologers who are medical astrologers who simply do what we call horary. There are people who take your question, and at the moment the question is asked, they create a wheel and they look for an answer. There are people who do what we call natal astrology, which is the astrology of individuals, and they work with an individual. There are ones who work with whole family astrologers. They work with family dynamics. There are people who just strictly center on love and relationships, and we call that synastry in astrology. There are others who do astrocartography, which is taking your wheel and laying it on the planet itself and identifying where on the planet you might find the most success or love or excitement or whatever it is that you're seeking. So there are a lot of different kinds of astrology and different kinds of astrologers. There are aesthetic astrologers. There are astrologers who work more at a psychological level. They're really looking for what is the information, so psychologically that's coming through this chart for the individual. There are others who do things where they are looking for past life experiences and more of the spiritual level in astrology. Your natal chart has far more information than anyone can take the time to tell you. When I would teach classes, I would always tell my students, you know, if we were to read your chart, if I were to sit there and just read your chart for you, I could easily keep talking for 2 days and never, ever begin to really have said everything.
That's amazing. That's a lot of information.
Yeah, it's an amazing amount of information. And what's wonderful is different astrologers come with different approaches. They see the world differently, as each of us do. You could put 10 people in a room and then take them out of the room, and you could ask each one of them what they saw in the room, and they'd all have different things that they would say.
So true. So have you prepared an ingress chart for the United States?
Yeah, I did. Every year I've been asked for the last, 30 years to look at what's happening for our country, and I usually do those articles in November. So I just pulled up the charts, and we are now at this point in time within the Aries ingress. We are in, which started on March the 20th, 2014, and which will end on June the 20th, well, actually June the 21st. And so that's the period of time for the Aries, and then the Cancer ingress will begin on June 21st. So, yeah, I have these charts in front of me, the Aries, Cancer, Libra, and the Capricorn ingress that's coming up at the end of the year. So
let me ask you this. What does it look like for America as far as our governmental structures?
The Aries chart, this period of time, and actually what's really interesting is out of these four charts, when you look at them together, we have three of them have wheels that are very, very close to, they're very, very similar wheels, which tells me that the people in this country seem to be holding on to certain outlooks, and they're not necessarily letting go of them. The issue of we as a nation to see 13 degrees of Cancer on the ascendant for Aries and the Cancer charts, both of them have that same 13 degree rising, it tells me that there is a transformation taking place within the psyche of the people. How will they work it out? During the Aries period, we have Jupiter sitting there on that ascendant, saying we need to open up, we need to expand, we need to see the world as family, we need to become more international, and yet it's kind of a fight that's going on within the people because they're saying we need to be pull back and be protective of our country. So can we protect our country and still be international? But what makes it really difficult is there is a direct opposition to Pluto over on the cusp of the seventh house. And the seventh house in mundane, this is called mundane astrology, the astrology of nations, to see Pluto there says that we are in a battle. Pluto is explosive, but it's not in an explosive sign here. It's in Capricorn. So it's basically saying that our enemies may be coming through transformations within the corporate structure, within governments, within controls. So during this period in time, we seem to be struggling with corporations or with the government itself. And Pluto here is also in a square to Uranus, while, of course, Jupiter is in a square to Uranus as well. And whenever you see a square, think of it like you think of a step. A step is basically that angle, that 90-degree angle that you have to lift one leg and put your foot in the air to get onto that next step. So for a moment in time, you are on one leg. It is a challenge. And the younger you are, the more challenging it is to get up that step. Not to say that people today who are adults are not still young. We're talking about being young in terms of the experience you're facing as you take that step. Mm-hmm. Wisdom comes with experience.
Exactly.
So Jupiter making this opposition and being T-squared along with Pluto by Uranus in the 10th house, and Uranus in Aries tells us a whole lot of things. It tells us that there'll be sudden experiences during this period of time that may be very explosive. They may include fires, wildfires, changes in weather that would be very hot. And with that, there could be explosions. There could be actual physical things that are happening. At the same time, there could be very aggressive actions being taken, things that are aggressive in public that might involve firearms or fires. Could be weapons. Aries has to do with war and weapons as well as fire. So sudden and unusual experiences will challenge the American people to rethink, to think who their enemies are, to think or to learn about how to be a country that is embracing itself nationally while still expanding itself internationally. So that's just one statement. When we look at an ingress chart for a nation, the very first things we always look at is what is on the angles. What's happening on the angles? Also in this chart, we have the sun right at the midheaven. And the sun always represents either the king or the ruler of the nation, the president, the prime minister, the governor of the state, if we're looking at states. So to see the sun right at the midheaven tells us the president will be prominent during this period. He will be seen. He will be heard. He will be noticed. And, of course, in Aries, to have it on the angle like that, it tells us he will be aggressive in some way, even if it is just posturing. So it's an interesting chart. It's also the sun here is in a beautiful trine to the north node, and we really didn't talk about nodes, and most people don't know what they are. The nodes are really points in space. They are not actually planets. But they seem to have a powerful significance. They seem to tell us something about our past karma and our future purpose. So seeing a trine, this isn't a trine, I take that back. Bad eyesight. It's a quincunx, which tells us that the future or the promise of the future that may be an intention of this president and he may want to aggressively go forward to will be a stressful experience for him and will probably not manifest as he had hoped. There seems to be something here with the North Node in Scorpio, which indicates there are things in his home, which would be in the White House, that are not seen, that are powerful and in control. So stuff beyond our control. Scorpio rules the NSA, it rules the CIA, and it rules all kinds of things that are hidden from view.
Very interesting. So now looking at all of this, does anything jump out that we should be aware of financially for people, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, when I look forward in time, there is a grand cross, what we call in astrology a grand cross, coming up at the end of the year in Capricorn as we come to the December 21st ingress chart, which that's when that one begins. And there is a variety of squares that almost form a cross. They actually do form a cross. It's a little bit wide orb in the Cancer ingress. And when we look at this one, the Cancer ingress, June 21st to September 22nd, this can have an influence in the marketplace. So I wonder what will happen. Pluto in this chart and Mars in this chart both rule what we call the fifth house. And the fifth house is the house of investments. This is the house of the market. And to have both of them in a square to each other, while also squaring Uranus, while this activity also involves the ascendant, which is the American people, this tells me that there can be some event that will take place that will really challenge, and it may challenge the investment market. It may challenge the housing market, since Mars is positioned in the fourth house, which is the house of our physical property and also our homes. But it could also be the stock market, or it could be some kind of, corporations that are involved in breakthrough structures, some kind of building structures or building materials.
You know, there's been so much talk about the economy crashing. I mean, would what you're saying be indicators of that possibly happening? And I know you...
Well, actually, I don't see that. I mean, the economy itself, for the economy of the United States to just completely crash, you would have to have all four of these charts making the same statement. We have seen that, and most of that happened during the late Bush era. It was a very scary set of charts we were staring at back then. I don't see these four charts as being that way. I see the chart that comes after it starting to pick it back up. You know, then the chart that comes after that, it's a challenging one again, but it does not have as much of a challenge as the chart that's the Cancer chart. So you would see a progression. And that's why, you know, looking at all four of them together is very important, not just looking at one and trying to say, well, this one has all of this going on. Also, the second house in this Cancer ingress is ruled by the Sun. And the Sun is not in a terrible position in this chart. And because of that, I'd say no, it is not going to be a collapse. There will not be a collapse during that period. A challenge sometimes can be, especially with Uranus, something that's very sudden, and the market can go suddenly down, and then within a month or so pick right back up. Yes, if you're not aware and you're not paying attention and you have a lot of stocks in the market, you need to stay on top of them because they can be challenged. But you can also define a lot of the challenges. You know, if we were saying, if you said, well, what about, you know, war stocks? What about stocks, let's say, in GE that has to do with production of materials that we use for building weapons of war? I'd say, well, war could be involved here because we have Aries, we have Mars. But, you know, what throws it kind of off kilter is that Mars is in Libra. So it doesn't seem to say war. Instead, Mars falling into the fourth house seems to say something about the housing market. And the Moon, of course, has to do with the housing market, and it's pulled in by Uranus. So it looks more to me like explosions and wildfires than it does actually the market itself. We do invest in our homes and in large areas of property that would be considered a big investment for our society. If you had, a subdivision burned down, that's a noticeable amount of money lost to the society. And, of course, we as American taxpayers, we're going to help support the rebuilding of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you see spiritually speaking as far as the nation waking up and moving into a higher frequency, as so many of us are doing? Do you see where more people will be awakening?
You know, that's a really super interesting question because I don't think anyone has ever asked me a metaphysical question for an ingress chart. So, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, so that's quite interesting to me. But when we look at this and ask that question, we have to really kind of look at each one of these and see how they interrelate in terms of the psychological benefit to the people. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that it doesn't necessarily show a progression specifically that way. It does show that the people are working out issues. The fact that we do have Cancer on three of these house cusps, three of these ascendants, it's, to me, it's kind of amazing. And when we look at the Capricorn ingress versus this Aries one, which, as I mentioned earlier, it seems like the American people are kind of like having their internal debate and external debate, both about firearms, about corporations, about the control of government, and also about international issues. So that seems to be a big, big struggle during this period in time. As we move into the next chart in Cancer, the American people seem to have come to some kind of conclusion about this. And then when we look at the moon itself, we say, wait a minute, maybe they haven't quite defined it yet, because the moon is under siege in this chart. It's still fighting with the issue of guns, guns in the home, guns in the workplace, guns in the school system, guns with children, violence with children. They're still working with that. So when we look here, we see more of the physical stuff rather than the metaphysical, because they have to work out an understanding of the hierarchy and the importance that is played by the thought forms we put out. Right now, they're still really struggling with the issue of the physicality of guns, is what these two charts say. You have to get long beyond that to get into a space as a nation where we can say the nation is moving into a metaphysical space. Hierarchy is a key element, and to clean up the corruption that's in our hierarchy, that requires a lot of spiritual energy being poured in. And I think there is a faction of people doing that, but it isn't yet to a point that you could say it will overwhelm the consciousness. There are two ways to expand consciousness. If we look at the time when Gandhi was on Earth, he was expanding consciousness, one man to a huge nation. So that's from the top of the hierarchy down to the people. If you look at what's happening in this country today, the hierarchy is not functioning at any metaphysical level. We don't even have, we have a War Department, and for, I don't remember what, 18 years, Denis Kucinich tried to get them to put in a Peace Department. And he could not get them to move on it or create a Peace Department in this country. He worked hard to try to activate the hierarchy in terms of change, but it seems to be pretty much stuck.
Wow.
Will it change? Eventually. But instead, it is the masses of people in this country who gather together and say, we need to make the change. And when they put their consciousness on it and they say, we can do this together, eventually they will overwhelm consciousness and move it forward. So to see it in the chart is of the nation, and it's not showing me those little groups of people. I would have to really look to find them in here.
Wow. So considering the many issues then that continue to separate our nation, can astrology tell us if this is going to heal anytime soon?
Well, I would love to say yes to that, but unfortunately I cannot. When I look at the ingress charts, that's one level. But I also do look at the natal charts for the nation. And I will usually use the chart that seems to be the one that Benjamin Franklin left us. And I believe it is the most accurate chart. Most people don't know that Benjamin Franklin was an astrologer. He was most assuredly a master astrologer. And if you look at the bill that his face appears on and you turn it over, you'll see Philadelphia Hall on the back of that bill. And Mark Penfield, a wonderful astrologer, did a lot of research on coming up with the best natal chart for the United States of America. And I followed his chart and used his chart for years. And then one day, I got into a discussion with another astrologer, Deb Clement, and we were looking at this bill. And on the tower of Philadelphia Hall, where they signed, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, where they signed the Declaration of Independence, there is a clock. And the clock shows the time. And that's the time that Mark Penfield rectified the U.S. chart to. It's the same exact time. I think it's inspired. And I think Benjamin Franklin left that little piece of information for astrologers to find. That's the chart I use. And when we use that chart, or actually any of the charts, and we look at the progressed chart of the United States, what you will find is Mars has gone retrograde. It went retrograde several years back in the earlier part of the 2000s, and it will not go direct again until around 2036. When we take Mars energy and we turn it in, that's what happens when it's in a retrograde. We fight with ourselves, and we're going to have to work out our differences. And it may take us till it goes direct or sometime as it gets close to going direct before we resolve them. So I am looking to 2036 for a time where this nation finally comes back together and finds its footing.
Wow. How does it look for employment for the country?
Well, still have quite a bit of struggles going on there. When I look at the Cancer ingress, which is coming up June 21st and will run through the summer, we have Jupiter ruling that, and Jupiter still is in a T-square. So it means we're still challenged with healthcare. We're still challenged with our military people, our veterans. We are still challenged with war, and we are still challenged with employment. We keep trying to expand it, but it doesn't seem to be getting to where it needs to go yet. There is still fighting going on. When I look at the Libra ingress, we have a different planet ruling the house of employment, and we have some activity in that house. So here we have Saturn in the house, and we have Mars. And the house is ruled by Scorpio, which Mars rules. What's lovely to see here is that Mars is in Sagittarius, which means that we seem to be trying to expand employment, and we're trying to expand it internationally in some way with import-export. We're also working on expanding our education and, as a result of that, trying to gain more employment. But there is a square to that Mars, so this is not done easily. It's challenged. It's challenged by misunderstandings or lies that are being put out there by media that may not be telling the truth. It's challenged by businesses that seem to be holding on to misconceptions. Saturn, on the other hand, is trying to establish something here, and Saturn represents the government itself. In Scorpio, it would be behind the scenes of the government. And it's in a trine to Chiron, which indicates to me that there is some kind of agreement that factions of the government are trying to work out with businesses, with groups of businesses, businesses that may be pharmaceutical, medical, could be gas, oil. Could be businesses that have to do with resources, natural resources, underground resources, and anything that would benefit health. So government is trying to do something here to open up a doorway. It is not being funded properly, though. It seems to be challenged again by information that is getting out there in a way more through entertainment than it is through truth. So there's a struggle there. When we look at the Capricorn ingress, we have a lot of activity in this house. It's absolutely stunning. We have the Moon, the Sun, Mercury, Pluto, and Venus gathered together in the house of employment, in the house of health, and this is also the house of veterans and military. And I believe this is the period in time where we're supposed to bring our boys home and girls home from Afghanistan. So you could see why there'd be so much going on there. A lot of this international, a lot of communication with military, government, transformation. We also have beautiful to see Venus there, because Venus says that we're going to love our veterans as they come home, and we seem to be wanting to give them employment, trying to do something here. But Venus is actually the ruler, a hidden ruler in the fourth house, so we don't seem to have the housing available for them. We are dreamers. We are dreaming about this, and we're hopeful, but I'm not so sure that we're going to be able to do as much as we'd like to.
Any final words? And please, Michelle, give out all of your contact information.
Oh, yes. Final words or contact. Well, you can always find me on Facebook. You can find me under Michelle Avanti. That's spelled A-V-A-N-T-I. You can also find me on my blog, astrologyandmore.com. So I'm available. You can find me. And my final words really are just, you know, remember that everything that you do, every thought that you have, every time that you think a thought or say a word, you are adding to the consciousness of not just this planet and these people and this humanity, but to the entire solar system and beyond. So make everyone filled with love. Love as much as you can. Practice being kind to yourself, because when you're kind to yourself, you have a greater ability to love all life.
And so if we focus more on love, we can make the change that we want to see, not only for ourselves personally, but for the country and the world globally.
Absolutely. That's what's going to, the way I see it, that's the only way it's going to change. It's coming from the grassroots. We need to do it. It's time for all people to realize that we're the ones responsible for what we create. And we can either accept what's being given to us, in which case we've given away our power to create, or we can start creating. Do what you love. When you are passionate about every moment of your life, you are in a loving zone. And when you are loving, you will be kind, you will be compassionate, and you will be helping change the world to become one of peace.
There you have it, because we all want more peace, and so it starts within. Thank you, Michelle. It's been a pleasure. Time goes by so quickly.
It went by unbelievably fast. I didn't even have any idea it had gone.
Time flies. That's another subject. Why is time flying? You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.